You're sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. 101.9 FM, CITR.ca online. If you're listening to this show on the podcast, this is episode 208. I'm Michael McCall.
I'm Steve Pander.
And I'm Zachary Adam Eisenheimer.
And I am tired. It's been a long, long day. Been up since 7 o'clock, heading over to the island to watch the Juan de Fuca Plate.
Smooth sailing, though, at least on the water.
Beautiful journey there, beautiful journey back. Lovely scenery. Shit game of football. Congratulations to Victoria Highlanders, though. Two times, back to back. If you
take out the years in the middle,
you know, the 2 years in between, back-to-back champions.
Yeah,
beat TSS Rovers 2-0 this afternoon, so congratulations to them. The Rovers will be back for their first plate, hopefully, next year.
I think overall, quickly, a successful season for the. They didn't make the playoffs, they didn't get any silver, but if, you know, for a team put together so quickly and everything like that, it was a successful season. They brought the a good supporters group, supporters into the stands. And I think overall a successful season. Good commentary.
Oh, fantastic commentary. Yeah, I'm a big fan of their commentary.
That Gideon Hill.
Yeah, that Gideon Hill is fantastic.
If you didn't get a chance to watch the game today, check out the stream. I'm doing the commentary in that. No Whitecaps to talk about this week. They've had a bye week. I don't know if that was for the Pride Parade or not, but they've had a bye week anyway. They will be back a week on Wednesday, travelling to LA. Whitecaps 2 played on Saturday night. Exciting 2-2 draw with the Colorado Switchbacks. Vancouver Whitecaps Toros, as the sort of blurb on the screen says. So we've got a new name. We are the Toros.
Interesting.
2-0 up at halftime, finished 2-2. Another penalty from Marco Bustos.
Quality from the spot.
Deadly. They should just bring him on as a special... special penalty taker, like American football, just bring him on, special teams.
A nice header from Thomas Center as well.
Yeah, but then they blew it in the second half, 2-2. So we're not here to talk about club football tonight. We're going to have a special hand over our heart, proud country chat. We're going to be focusing on the Canadian men's national team and the Canadian women's national team. But let's kick things off with some Gold Cup chat. Canada won again.
4-2.
They scored.
Fantastic. Four times.
If we ignore 2 minutes of madness.
When the rains came down.
Whoa. Did the heavens open?
Yeah.
It must have made some of the guys feel at home in Vancouver.
Must have been, yeah. To quickly recap the goals, because we're not going to go too in deep on the goals. Jakovic scored the first. Everybody's wondering how long it's going to take to score. He did it first. It kind of went off his ribs or something like that, or his hip on the corner kick.
I forget who it was, but someone on Twitter had a poll going, "What is your favorite Canadian goal? Kyle Aaron's butt or Dejan Jakovic's ribcage?"
Yeah, and then Scott Arfield scored almost at the death at halftime
after creating the first goal.
Yeah, so that was good. Alfonso Davies, the 16-year-old. In the 60th minute.
He's only 16?
Only 16.
Wow.
Youngest player ever, I think, to score in the Gold Cup now, and for Canada. A fantastic play by Lucas Cavallini on that, and then sent him all alone. And he, clinical finish, nutmeg the goalie. Like you said, the 2 minutes of craziness in the 69th and 70th minute. One was a decent header off the I think it was a corner. And the second one, that was a little bit shambolic, where it was Crepo kind of lost where he was supposed to be, and that was unfortunate. But in the 85th minute, Alphonso Davies comes back, finishes him off, gets at the brace.
Another nutmeg.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the double meg.
And another great setup by the striker, the Canadian striker, Jackson Hamel. Yeah, fantastic setup.
Kirk was loving the nutmegs in the game because he's just kind of learned what it is playing in the schoolyard and stuff. And he's like, Dad, there's so many nutmegs in this game.
So does he say nuts or does he say megs?
He usually says meg. Yeah, he megged them.
Nuts is better.
So, and obviously, then the game ended 4-2. Obviously, and now, because of goal differential at the top of the table.
Yeah.
Top of the group.
We are top of the league. Say we are top.
Of course, the other group, Martinique, is the top of the group right there in the USA, Panama one. So that's, it's good for now, I guess. We could say that.
Well, Martinique gave Canada some problems in the last Gold Cup. So good to see them continuing that form against another minnow. Well, everyone wants to see the minnows do well and score goals. Four of them from Canada. I mean, you don't get much better than that. And it's not even, they're not even playing a proper country. It's a French territory. It's not even recognized by FIFA.
A win is a win. A win.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a fair critique. Okay. Yeah. We're playing a side that is only able to play in the Gold Cup. It's not, they don't participate in the World Cup. They're not recognized by FIFA. That's fine. And that's okay to critique. But again, you also have to, the other side of it is you have to play who's in front of you, and you have a job to do. You need to get 3 points to begin the group phase well. And
they looked good, but they looked like a cohesive team,
and they looked attacking for once. That was the thing.
We're going to hear some audio that the wonderful Jonathan Tannenwald got for us after the game. And they talk about that Zambrano has added something which this team didn't have before. They actually attack.
Yeah. And I think, like, the first half, like you were talking, Scott Arfield, he set up the goal. He scored the goal. I think he was the MVP in the first half. Alphonso Davies kind of took it in the second half with his two finishes. But I think he was very solid in the first half, too. His attacks down the wing and everything like that.
I don't know if anyone saw his brother. It was shared on Twitter. He was doing the national anthem.
Scott
Arfield.
Yeah. David Edgar shared it.
Yeah. Wearing all this different Canada gear. It was fantastic. He needs to work a little bit on the tune, I think. He kind of lost it a little bit towards the end. But
A for effort.
Yeah.
As in A.
Scotland is all in for Canada.
Seems like it.
Now you just need your citizenship.
We'll get there. Do I get to play if I get my citizenship? Is that how it works?
No, I don't think so. Okay.
Damn. I thought I was going to get a game for TSS Rovers today.
They were that short?
Yeah, they only had 4 players on the bench.
Oh, wow.
I was warming up on the pitch, missed an open goal from the spot, no keeper. Actually pulled it wide. I was trying to impress by going for the corner, and it just went... I looked around to see if anyone was watching. Yeah, they were watching.
It's better than that one time I think you slipped or something in Abbotsford once. Was it you or you
I
got Bateman? Hit in the face?
I Bateman?
Oh, no. I've never been
hit. Was that somebody else? That must have been somebody else then.
But I didn't make the cut. But anyway, back to Canada. So that's some of our thoughts on the game. Before we chat any more about it and some of the individual performances, let's hear a little bit from the new Canadian head coach, Octavio Zambrano.
Is that what you wanted to do for Canada, to try to attack? To obviously, they defend well. You build the ball going through the midfield. But was that what your game plan was today against French Guiana?
We definitely wanted to drive an up-tempo type of game. We wanted to score within the first 15 minutes and try to control the game after that. Didn't quite happen everything exactly the way we wanted, but I saw glimpses of what I want for this team. And we had a breakdown at one point that we need to really be cognizant of, and we need to examine. We will watch the video and see where that was and how we can correct it. But you can't ask for everything in the first match, you know. And what I saw, I think it was good enough for 3 points, and really that's at the end of the day what matters.
Octavio, I'm sure you haven't started too many 16-year-olds over the course of your coaching career. Your thoughts on Alfonso's overall game today?
You know, Alfonso is a player that will give a lot to talk to a lot of people, because he's a young man with a tremendous future. It really, truly, the sky is the limit for him. And I say that because I know his personality. He's a humble kid. And, you know, as the great Pelé once said, you know, you have to be humble before you have to be great. And he is a very humble player with tremendous tools to play the game. How far he can go and what he can reach, really, it's for all of us to watch him and enjoy the ride with him, because he's going to be a good one. And so his age doesn't really play too much on our minds. I don't think he plays in his mind at all. When he steps on the field, he comes to play, and it doesn't really matter to him one bit. You know, if the guy that is in front of him is twice his age, he will play it with the same intensity and with the same pizzazz that he possesses. So I couldn't be more pleased for a great debut for a guy like him.
Octavio, from our point of view, it looked like when Milan went down, there was some medical staff who looked like he gestured for a sub, and then another person came in and gave the thumbs up. And then, of course, Milan was taken out not long after. Mm-hmm. Given sort of concerns about head injuries and all that, who has the final say in something like that?
Undoubtedly, the doctor has the final say. And we care about our players' health first and foremost. Obviously, in games, during games, the communication that goes from the field to the coach, and when the substitutions are determined to be warranted, perhaps in this time wasn't the best. There was a little bit of confusion, but you know, he came out. He's okay. He's been examined. I don't foresee anything major, but obviously I will wait to see what the doctor has to say.
So Octavio Zambrano there, just talking a few thoughts from the game, and he mentioned the interesting one, Borjan. That was a bit of a scary moment, because I don't think he should have been kept on the pitch. I think as soon as he had that knock, they should have taken him off. Concussion protocol, everything like that. I mean, he seems to think that he's fine and it's not going to be an issue, but I wasn't comfortable with him being left on.
I don't think he ever got knocked out, though. So I'm not sure. Like, it might have been just a contusion, but I don't know. I don't play a doctor at all. Even on TV or...
He was heavily bruised under his eye.
Unlike Stephen Caldwell, who seemed to make a diagnosis all the way in Toronto.
I didn't think the kind of half-closed, half-open fist from Samuel Piette was that bad, actually.
It didn't look at that. It didn't look like a strike.
It didn't, yeah. And I know where it hit in the head.
Yeah.
I was more worried about him having ocular damage, like that he'd broken his cheekbone or something like that.
At first glance, it didn't look bad. It was very innocuous. No, but
even on the replay, to me, it didn't, like, you could see, oh, yeah, he's got a bruise he's got a black eye starting, and that's understandable where he got hurt. It didn't, to me, look like the kind of head injury that would lead to, severe concussion at least, or significant concussion at least.
But we also don't know how good his vision was either.
Right. I thought he was going to come off right away, and then I thought, okay, maybe it's just a hard knock to the cheekbone that stung in the moment. You play on, and it's not.
I think mostly it was.
He's not concussed.
Yeah, I don't think the concussion was an issue. I think it was mostly blurry vision. It seemed like maybe the vision just got blurry and blurry as it maybe swelled up and stuff like that. I think that affected him more, and that's why he needed to come off then at that point.
Yeah, possibly. But who knows? Maybe he would have done better at the goals if he couldn't have seen the ball.
It was. It felt like it was one of the turning points in the game, though. Him coming off and Patrice Bernier.
I mean, Kripo was a good keeper.
And the rain coming down at the same time. Yeah, like, it can't be easy for a keeper to come in the game and it all of a sudden starts raining that hard.
So I guess we should talk about the difference maker of the game, the man of the match. Yep, Scotty Arfield.
I knew that was coming.
I know, I telegraphed that one. Alfonso, the King of Canada, El Presidente of Canada, I think he is now.
The new CSJ?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He probably put a few extra million on the Whitecaps transfer fee. You could see the front office watching that, rubbing their fingers, going, ooh, we're going to be up to 80 million now.
I don't know if that much.
Is that exaggerating?
No, that's exaggerating.
That's a little bit exaggerating.
50 million.
Yeah, that's a little bit much. Watching the game, it felt like actually Alfonso didn't have his best overall match, especially early on. Like
his crosses into the box weren't
some of his decision making.
Yeah, like well, even like right, almost like maybe the first play to him, he saw the ball out into touch accidentally, like I don't know if it was nerves, I don't know if first game in a tournament or whatever, but it was not his regular kind of performance. I think who was it, Lucas Cavallini, I think gave him a bit of an earful once or twice or whatever, and I don't know if that impacted him or if that had no impact on him, but it wasn't really till the goal that his contributions were like significant anyways. And once he got in alone and had the quality finish through the legs, it was just like the rest of the match, I think he played a lot better.
The goals that he took, I mean, he finished them superbly.
Yes.
It's like a dream debut. I mean, yeah, I know he played in the friendly, but this is his first proper cap, his competitive debut. And the coolness and maturity he showed with both those finishes. I mean, I know there's a lot of hype and everything about him, but I mean, that was finishing beyond his years.
Yeah.
Everyone after the match was raving about him. We're going to hear from a couple of players in a little bit. But it doesn't help with trying to temper the expectations from him, because everyone's now talking him up even more. And squad player Russell Beresford raised a good question on Twitter. Does that performance attract more attention from scouts than how he's been playing in MLS? Because it's an international competition. A lot of clubs or a lot of scouts put more weight on playing internationally he's done it at an international level. Plus, it's been shown around the world, so people are seeing this.
I totally agree. I think the international thing is a big thing. Because you can't... It's hard to judge... league play because you don't know the ins and outs, but international play is a tournament.
Yeah.
And tournament's a little bit more stressful on players and everything like that. So and when a player shows that they can do it at the international level, it means big for them.
Well, the interesting thing is when you look at his 2017 season so far, all of his assists and goals have come in some kind of cup competition. Whether that's the CONCACAF Champions League, the Voyageurs Cup, or now playing for Canada in a friendly, or playing for Canada in the Gold Cup. In the MLS league play, he has zero assists and zero goals, which I think some people maybe have been either critical for I've heard some people be critical of him for that, but... And I've heard actually the opposite perspective of some people are looking more, those competitions are different. And he hasn't contributed in the same way in the bread and butter of the league play.
He might just be a player that really raises his game, when it comes to the cup competitions, it's maybe just something that really excites them. But it now poses the question from a Whitecaps point of view, how can you leave him out of the starting lineup when he's playing like that for his country? Because Rob has used him a little bit sparingly at times. He's brought him off the bench. He has tired at times when he has started. The team's got a good little chemistry going. I mean, if you're looking at, like, if you were looking ideally at playing a front five, and we touched upon this in the last podcast, if you wanted to have two strikers, Reyna and Montero, and then if you wanted to have three along the middle, you're looking at Teixeira, Shea and Bolaños. So it's like, where does Davies fit in with that? Do you rest someone like Shea, who is your DP, to play a 16-year-old?
You mean Templer?
I think you have to just do a rotation at that point. Like, you kind of see what's happening in training, how they feel and everything. Bolaños is, you know, he's going to deserve a rest once in a while. He is, I think, 33, 34 or something like that. So you just need to rotate these guys in and just keep them fresh, because it's tough, especially the second half when they're going to be on the road quite a bit, and then they'll be at home. So you got to use it, the squad as they are.
Yeah, I think we're not going. It's going to be hard for Robbo to have a settled starting 11. I think with all the options and choices, and these
kind of good,
in one sense. But we also saw earlier in the year when options were limited, and there was a kind of a, okay, this is the starting 11 for five to six matches.
We'll save that for more of our Whitecap shows. For now, I mean, we're raving about Davies, so let's hear what a few of the other guys had to say about him. Scott Arfield and Patrice Bernier.
Cool. Will you translate the Arfield?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Today we saw a 16-year-old kid break through with his national team. Your thoughts on Alfonso's performance?
Fantastic. I thought, you know, he's probably the most exciting kid. I think that's what he still is, a kid that I've ever played with. Probably I've ever seen with my own eyes. And I've been about for a long time, and by far he's the most technically gifted, the most humble, modest young man that I think is going to go from strength to strength. I know that a number of the big hitters in Europe have certainly been looking at him, and you know, the more you get to know him as a lad, that you know he's got every chance to really step on here. And you know, the experience what you're showing at 16, you know, to come into a game like that, and when the back's against the wall, when we've kind of lost our shape for 20 minutes or so to take it, we're technically gifted strike and put it in and kind of see the game out, speaks volume for him.
You had a very strong game as well. Your thoughts on your performance?
Yeah, I thought I was done exactly what I wanted to do. You know, as a professional footballer, you look back at your standards, the 20 minutes that we kind of lost the two goals is, you know, we were guilty, me, Sammy and Russ in the midfield three, we were far more guilty of getting the game stretched. And, you know, if we kind of get that transition a lot better, then we'll certainly see the game out. The two goals don't happen. I think we're too stretched from the back four. We were too stretched, and I think Jackson and Lucas, who was up there at the time, again, too big. The distances were too big, but that's the thing that, you know, the character that we showed to come back there and see the game out. And, you know, the lesson of coming back is the character to get the game rather than losing the shape for 20 minutes is far more important for a young team, and you know, we go from strength to strength, and certainly after this game we're going to be confidence back in Texas.
How important was it to get that win?
Yeah, it's important. This is my fourth Gold Cup, and the two that we went to the second round was the first game. You have to win. The first game gives you those 3 points, gives you confidence, and let's be honest, there's 8 teams that qualify out of 12, so first 3 points is very vital. This was only our second game together officially, so to have a good victory and also a lot of goals because we hadn't scored in the last two Gold Cups.
Take me through how it is at halftime, how it is at 3-0, and how it is at 3-2.
Look, we came in 2-0. I think we created a lot of chances where we could have come up with 3-0 at halftime, but it was still, we were happy with what we did, but we wanted to keep going because we knew that they played a high line and there was space to be able to attack with the pace that we got up front. And then we went to 3-0, so we're happy because, you know, 3-0, when's the last time Canada taken 3-0? I think it's Gold Cup 2007. But we fell asleep for about 5 minutes. They came back, they battled through. It was kind of like an MLS game where you just think now the game's going to go the other way. You're hoping that they don't score that third. But we scored a fourth, and look, credit offensively we did very well, and 16-year-old scores two goals. I think it's probably a record for a Gold Cup. What a way to start your official debut with Canada, to score two goals and show what you're able to do.
To see not only Alfonso playing that well, but playing that well with Anthony Jackson, MLO, you know so well. How much fun is that for you?
Oh, it's good. Like I've said, you know me, I'm a veteran player, so I'm coming here just pretty much to manage, because those guys going forward, they got a lot of quality of creativity. Junior Horlett brings a lot to the table. Lucas Cavallini did a great job to hold up the ball and come play. Jackson ML came in and contributed to the fourth goal. You have those guys. Canada hasn't had that much threat all together, so it's good to know that when you pass that ball and it goes forward, we're able to go to goal and threaten teams and not just sit back and take the pressure.
All around the league, people have remarked about how composed Alfonso is. When you practice with him and you play with him, what do you see in person?
Hey, look, he's 16. At 16, I didn't remember being like that. Like I said, he's very calm, mature. Just look at his fishing, didn't fluster, played. 16 years old, he has quality, but this was the first official game for him and in a tournament. And he went out there and played, and the great thing is, yeah, maybe it's because a teenager doesn't really think of all the where he's at, so is that maybe innocence that's allowed him to play, but he has quality. It's amazing to see at 16 years old what he can do and what he'll be able to keep doing for Canada.
Lastly, how is Octavio as a coach?
Oh, look, very calm, wants to play offensive football and allows these guys to be creative, because he wants the ball to go forward. He wants us to go forward. It's a message that's not always been portrayed for Canada in the past, and you saw it today. And when you have the quality of players that we have going forward, you give them the ball, things can happen. So he's very composed and really wants to set the tone to a culture of going out there and not being Canada that's known to be nice, wants to be Canada that goes out there, that's gritty and that's able to go at people and not think of who you're playing. Think of Canada and performing as a Canadian and being proud of that.
And I wear it for my lady, the Canadian flag, baby!
And Steve is proudly wearing his Canadian flag today. Well, at least his Canadian crest. He's wearing a Canada football top.
I thought you only had ice hockey jerseys.
I know.
No, I never said that.
I'm wearing my Wimbledon jersey because it's Wimbledon Fortnite. I may have misunderstood that, but that's what it is. I'll be wearing this when I'm cheering on Andy Murray tomorrow. So we'll just wrap up our Gold Cup chat here with a burning question. Do Canada advance from the group?
I think they've put themselves in a good position at this point. I think there is another group. I can't remember the teams, but there's two teams. If they draw their game, Canada gets through, essentially, because their final games are going to be against Mexico and Jamaica. I think it's Curacao and El Salvador, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So that would be the easiest way to get through, where they don't have to do anything. But I think they, as long as they don't like lose it like they did against in that 2 minute span or whatever it was,
yeah,
I think they can keep the goal differential down, because I don't think they're going to beat Costa Rica, I think they could draw with Honduras, so I think there is a chance there. So I'm optimistic at this point.
I mean, 8 of the 12 teams advance. You have to kind of really hope that Canada's going to be one of those 8. Basically, I think if a team gets a win by a couple of goals, that should be enough. Obviously, Martinique won by a couple of goals, but we scored 4. They only scored 2.
Yeah.
So I'm confident. I think we will go through. I don't think we'll go through as one of the top 2, though. I think we'll be one of the third place teams.
Probably, most likely.
Yeah, I'm saying we.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. I didn't want to bring too much attention to it.
That's impressive. No, we need to get through whatever it takes, whether it's first, second, third.
Assassinations, whatever it takes.
Davies.
if there needs to be some more of these drawing of lots, whatever, we need to get through.
The time they won 2000 Gold Cup, they only won because of the coin toss.
Coin toss, that was
coin
it.
Coin toss helped them get through. Yeah.
If we get through because we're a bunch of tossers, all for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back with more chat after this.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Begging for rides from your friends?
Bobby, I don't have time to take you to the soda shop again this week.
Lugging those groceries on the bus got you in a sweat?
Man, oh man, these bags of salt sure are hefty.
Being on campus without a car ain't easy, so check out Zipcar and get wheels when you want them. Join now to get your membership for only $20 at zipcar.ca/UBC.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
I think we can all agree Alphonso Davies is glorious. That should be his theme song when he runs out of BC Plays. That should be his goal theme. We need to get some goal songs. I know it doesn't go down well with a lot of people. I like goal songs. No.
Thank you.
Christian Teixeira could have something by the Buggles.
Yeah, that would work.
Mm. Christian killed it, New York Stars. Something like that.
No, nothing.
No, Zach's not buying into this. So we chatted about the Gold Cup before the break there, and the way the tournament's been run, it's been better. They've played the proper national anthems, as far as I know, for the teams this year. That's a start. So America's learning about the world. Surprising, really, considering who they voted for.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's been run well. And if this competition goes off without any hitches, it can only help the World Cup bid, which almost looks like a formality. They announced the United Joint Bidding Committee this week as well. So there's three Canadians serving on it. Stephen Reid, his new assistant, whose name I can't remember, and big Victor Montagliani.
Yeah, and there's only two Mexicans. That would surprise me a little bit. And they're, I think, six or seven Americans or five? Or
judging by some of the photos of Victor at the Gold Cup, he may have eaten a few Mexicans. He seems to have put the weight back on again. But I actually got a chance to catch up with the new CSA president, Stephen Reid, just to talk about all things Canadian. We had a little chat about the Canadian Premier League. We had a chat about him taking over the position and the World Cup bid as well. So let's hear now from new CSA president. And I'm just stalling here because Steve is not queued up.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, now you're ready to go. Here's Stephen Reid. So, Stephen, you're approaching the two-month mark in your new position. Has it just been a whirlwind sort of first 6 weeks for you so far?
Absolutely. It's been a pretty hectic period of time. A lot of travel. We left the AGM in May up at Whistler and had to jump on a plane for the FIFA Congress in Bahrain. So it was pretty tiring, and there's been a lot of activity, of course. You know, it's a very busy summer. We've got had the two women's matches already, the men's match against Curaçao, the Canadian Championship as well, and we've got the Gold Cup coming up. So condensed schedule of a lot of matches, plus something of, I guess, enormous proportions, the FIFA World Cup 2026 bid. So we've already struck the bid committee, and we have two members from Canada, myself and our General Secretary, Peter Montopoli, who are on that board, plus Victor Montagliani as the president of CONCACAF. So three Canadians out of 10 on the board of directors for the bid committee. So there'll be some more activity. We've had conference calls and no face-to-face meetings of the full board itself as yet, but that'll be forthcoming. So yeah, there's a lot of activity going on right now. Pretty exciting times.
Yeah, it definitely is. And for you yourself, you've been involved in the game for over 50 years. What made you decide to step up for this role at this point in time?
Well, I'd been the vice president for 5 years, I believe it was. And I'd been the president of BC Soccer Association before that for a period of 6 years. So it would almost seem a natural progression. You know, I love the sport. I played since I was 4 or 5 years old until I was, I guess, 55 years old, and got into administration about maybe 16, 17 years ago at the provincial level, moved up to the national level. And as I say, it's pretty exciting times. I knew that Victor was moving on to CONCACAF as president, and there's some initiatives that we'd identified in our strategic plan that we wanted to follow through with, the Canadian Premier League being one of them, the World Cup 2026 bid, and a lot of issues in coaching and player development that we need to attend to. So it was something that I was really excited about and wanted to stay a part of.
And looking at a couple of those, the World Cup bid, first of all, it's obviously been announced as like 10 games in Canada. Are you happy with that? Would you have liked to have pushed for a little bit more, or do you think just with the size and the stadiums and the infrastructure in the States, that was the best way to kind of secure the bid?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a joint bid was the way to go on a number of different levels. Whether we had 10 games or 15 games, the fact that it's coming to Canada, I think, is the most exciting part. 10 matches over, however many cities, whether that's four cities or three cities, whatever it might be, it's still bringing the event to our country. And the legacies that can come out of that, are potentially very, very significant. And it's not just about the event itself. That's, somewhat fleeting. And it's going to be here. It's going to be a month or however many days we're actually in Canada. But there's opportunities for not just the host cities, but other cities across Canada, because other countries are going to need base camps, training facilities. There's infrastructure that they're going to require. That's what happens around World Cups, that other countries come in prior to and need to set up and play and train. So there's great opportunities there. We saw it with the Women's World Cup in 2015, where we had a great legacy of a number of different facilities. So it's pretty amazing.
And the Canadian Premier League was obviously ratified. We had Paul Byrne on our show a couple of weeks ago, so we had a lot of chats with him about it. Where is that standing at the moment? Are you still looking towards possibly a launch late last year, or is it still all quite loose at the moment?
The target is still 2018 for a launch of the league. They're still working with other potential franchises. So right now we've only got two member clubs that have actually been accepted to membership by the Canadian Soccer Association, Winnipeg and Hamilton. There was a meeting with a number of different owners by the CPL itself just the other day in Toronto. So they're working towards that still, that timeline. There's a lot of different moving parts. I'd say it's still a work in progress because of stadia requirements and, so it's going to take some time, but we're hopeful that we can still hit that target of 2018. But we're committed to it, so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
The National Development Training Centre that's just been opened here for the Whitecaps, is that something that you see as maybe having Vancouver as a key base for national teams at all level now moving forward?
Well, we haven't had that discussion at this point in time with the Whitecaps. It's an awesome facility. I think that obviously it's world class, but I don't think we're in a position to really comment on that at this point in time. We'd have to get into more detailed, comprehensive discussions with them in order to see what our position would be.
And just last thing for me, you're here today to announce the Canadian team playing the American women in November. With no Canadian teams in the Women's League in the States at the moment, is that something that you're still pushing hard to get to?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to see a Canadian team playing. I think behind the scenes there is some work being done on that, but we'll have to see. I think there's definitely an appetite for that, and it would be absolutely amazing if we could have that in place in the near future. So, yes.
That's great. Thanks so much, Stephen. Thanks for your time today. Good luck with everything. Stephen Reed there, talking about all things Canadian soccer.
So the other person on that committee, of course, was Peter Montopoli. You know Peter, right?
Yeah, the Monopoly man.
And as he confirmed, there were five Americans.
Yes, his little
on
top
there.
Hat. Yeah, five Americans.
Yes, not five or six.
The Monopoly guy is a different guy. I'll tell you about who that is later.
Oh, he doesn't have the top hat?
I think it's a thimble or something. Whatever. His updates on... He provided a couple of updates on the new Canadian Premier League.
Yeah, it's definitely aiming to start at 2018 still.
And that got Zach a little red in the face.
No, okay.
I know you don't... I agree with you that it's going to be hard to set that up that quickly.
No, it just does not... On a number of fronts, does not seem like the logical thing to do. Number one... It doesn't seem like as we've talked about a number of times in the past, this league has to have an amazing launch, an amazing start.
Yes.
That is a huge thing.
One chance to make a first impression.
They need balloons. They need pigeons flying from the center of the pitch. They need everything.
Girl jumping out of a cake.
Yeah.
To announce the female version of the league. That's so. This is why I haven't had a job with them.
Yeah. Okay. Wow,
but you're talking epic. Start.
No, there needs to be an incredible. You cannot do. I do not think it's best to do a soft launch with a partial season. That's one thing. Then you want to talk about the logistics on top of that. How are you going to have quality players that you're paying from July or August or whatever onward like that? I guess July maybe that's when the worldwide transfer window opens or whatever. But like, it's. And then so you're going to have a shortened season with them, and then...
And then they could sign in somewhere else, too, at that point.
And then their league doesn't start till April
The thing is that if you want to have this league start well, you have to sign these players. These players have to be here for a while. You have to build up the players, kind of their backstory and everything, get people invested in the players themselves. So that way... if they're here, like certain players, you're going to be here for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And that way the supporters are behind these players and they have somebody to connect to.
During the games, maybe you have a minute's break where you have a flashback scene like they did in Lost.
Yeah, could be.
Man. No, I do. I'm not in favor. I really don't think that would be wise to do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not going to do it. Yeah. I just don't think it would be wise.
I'm with you on that.
I think it is doable, but I don't think it should be. Some quick updates on some CPL stuff. Halifax have had their stadium approved.
Big up the Wanderers.
Little chat that Moncton might have a team.
The Magnetic Hill. Mm.
The BC team, which we have alluded to. There is a stadium plan with a city in the Lower Mainland. But from what we've heard, things are not going too well. So they may be looking at another location in another city. But still in the Lower Mainland. Tease, tease, tease. So the last thing that Stephen Reed talked about there, the whole reason that Stephen Reed was in Vancouver, apart from the fact he lives here, but the reason that he was doing the chat with everyone was to announce the big Canadian Women's Friendly in November. The Yanks are coming back to the place where they They won their World Cup.
Counting to six.
Yes, we can try that again. And it's the first time that the World Cup winners have come back to their place of triumph. Canada's all out to try and beat them. So I got a chance to catch up with John Herdman. If you are a subscriber to our premium podcast, there's still extra time. You have heard the first part of our chat, which Har had with John Herdman. So here's just my little bit, just chatting about a few things about Canadian women's soccer. You've been with this team for quite a while now.
Yeah.
What still motivates you? Is it trying to get one of the big ones, the Olympics, the World Cup, or is it just continuing to see this team grow and a lot of the young ones coming through?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, what motivates us is, you know, seeing Christine get 200 goals. You know, I'd love to be part of that experience with her. Seeing Christine and this team on top of a podium. You know, we've changed the mindset of the group. You can really feel it now. There's a genuine belief in there that Canada can be top of the podium. So that those sort of things are like, I mean, they're massive. To be part of a team that does that, and part of that whole growth and journey of the team, you just can't replace those memories. You know, it's something that money can't buy. Like, it just, being part of it is what I'm dreaming about. And I think the last thing is just putting this whole thing down better than we found it. It's, you know, it would be easy, like I say, to have moved off after 2016, back-to-back podiums, and tried something different. But there's still a little bit that tells us that this system that Jordan's a product of, we still need to cement that in the regions and make it better. So, you know, longevity, when one of these female coaches take over in 2020, they don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. They just have to keep working with great players.
You talked as well at the start there about this being the first year for Quadennial. How tough is it to keep things going? And you don't have a big tournament now till 2019. So it's 3 years to the World Cup. It's four to the next Olympics. Keeping competitive games and keeping these players like in that correct mindset, how do you do that?
We work extremely hard. You know, every time we get together with the players to bring them back to vision, and I think it's the most important part of leadership, that, you know, the technical, tactical aspect of the game is important, but actually connecting players to a vision that's bigger than themselves, you know, bringing them to that future cast of what number one looks like, how it can feel, what it does for our country. We'd spend as much time in that space as we do talking about the X's and O's on the field, because it's the motivation and a committed mind that makes the difference. All of the success this team's had has been when we've committed their minds, and to sustain that over a quad is challenging. But if that's one of the main things we talk about when we're together, it becomes front of mind for people, and then they commit to it.
You've got the new shiny Whitecaps Development Centre here. It's a fantastic facility. Is that something you'd like to see possibly become a base for the women's team moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we have a fantastic facility at Fortius, which is a full high-performance centre that's got accommodation, you know, sitting in it. We play a lot of our games on turf in Canada. So, you know, as a facility, it's world-leading in the country as a football facility, well, in the West for sure. And I think as a facility, at times, we'll hopefully connect with the Whitecaps to be able to utilise it for sure. I think the players, just to go and get that professional experience, a real football experience, not a multi-use centre like Fortius, is beneficial. But, you know, we've got everything we need where we're currently at. We've got great systems there, had great support. And, you know, all our youth programs are running out of it as well. So, you know, Vancouver's blessed with great facilities. And, you know, well done to the Whitecaps for finally, you know, making that dream a reality. And I'm absolutely sure we'll be over there taking advantage at some point.
Man's man, I'm a man's man, I'm a man's man.
Ladies man,
I'm a man's man, I'm a man's man.
Ladies man,
a And John Herdman certainly is a ladies' man, but in the best possible way. So just talking about a couple of things that John mentioned there. A big thing that he kind of just casually mentioned it, but he talked about when he leaves after the next round of World Cup and Olympics, he wants to leave the programme, he said, in a better shape for when a female coach comes in to take over the team. So he's clearly grooming somebody, possibly Rhiann Wilkinson.
Andrea Neal?
I thought you were going to say her.
Was it Andrea Neal? Is Andrea Neal on the coaching staff, or is she just... I don't recall.
I don't think so.
Rhiann Wilkinson seems a little bit too soon off the pitch.
I don't know, he's still got another 3 years.
Oh, I guess so.
What do you mean? In his contract?
Yeah.
Right.
Because he's going to go after the next Olympics. So yeah. He wants to see through the World Cup. He wants to see through there as well. And then I asked John Herdman and I also asked Stephen Reid about the new Whitecaps training facility because it is called the National Soccer Development Centre. So I said, is this now going to be a base for the national teams? And Stephen Reid said, as you heard, no, there's been no discussions had so far. And John Herdman's like, no, we like Fortius because they've got places to stay and they've got turf pitches.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that it is going to be the National Soccer Development Centre.
Wait, are you saying the Whitecaps wouldn't have talked to the CSA about you like having that name and having that tie-in and... having that connection?
I could not possibly say. But I'd rather just keep it for the Caps anyway. It's like, you don't want to share. In November time when the game's on, we're going to be in our deep playoff run, so they won't get a chance to use the facilities. So, I think all that is left to say about that is, anyone fancy a chocolate digestive?
Anyone fancy a chocolate digestive? Fancy a chocolate digestive. Anyone fancy a chocolate digestive, even though it sounds suggestive? Anyone fancy a chocolate digestive?
If you're sitting down at night, you're watching TV, do you go for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee?
A cup of tea at night.
What would be your biscuit of choice, or are you not a biscuit person?
Oh, definitely McVitie's milk chocolate digestives.
Yeah. And are you a dunker?
Absolutely, until it, yeah, definite dunker. Maybe three, sometimes I can get three.
That's great, thanks so much, John.
Anyone fancy a chocolate digestive? Anyone fancy a chocolate digestive?
This Quarter magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theatre, This Quarter lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theatre. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of This Quarter magazine or at rickshawtheatre.com.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Hey, what are you doing? You're procrastinating. What are you doing tonight? Netflix? Again? Looking to socialize? We got you. Looking for variety? We have that. Hong Kong Student Association. Your ticket in. We're more than just a club. Come find your home. HKSA. Get involved at www.hksaubc.com.
Hey, did you know?
More than 4,500 Canadians are waiting for an organ transplant right now.
Right now. 4,500.
People are dying.
And you could save a life. 90% of Canadians say they're willing to donate their organs.
But only a few are registered.
So what are you waiting for? Get registered.
It's easy and it's free.
Leave a legacy. Be a hero.
Save a life.
Find out how to register today. Go to kidney.ca.
We'll be right back.
by Timko. Knocked away. So the first scoring opportunity goes to Canada. Isabelle Morneau trying to get back into the field. The header, Hooper scores! Free kick from Lang. She takes a goal. And she scores! A trademark shot from 16-year-old Carl Lang, who did this at the Under-19 World Championships last year. And she's done it here tonight to open the scoring in this game after nearly 65 minutes.
What a strike. Look at this strike. The keeper could not even keep her hands on it.
Fleming again. Strong away from Tamires. Rose just inside her, evades. And Rose could be in behind. She's onside. Sinclair. Christine Sinclair. It's two. It's two for Canada. 7 minutes into the second half. Would you believe it? Captain Fantastic, on the occasion of her 250th cap, gives Canada a 2-0 lead over hosts Brazil.
Some magical moments from the Canadian women's national team over the years. Three top stars, three of which, Steve, made our all-time women's top 10.
Yeah, and like we said last week, we were going to talk about it this week. Top 10 created, voted on by a number of people that follow the team, people in the media that cover the team, and some former players. And we were able to get a top 10 together.
At 10.
Karina LeBlanc from Maple Ridge, BC. Born in Atlanta, spent most of her youth in the Caribbean, and then moved to Maple Ridge. And was the keeper in the 2011 Pan American Games, where they won the gold in the shootout, the penalty against Brazil.
And if it was me that was voting, because I forgot to vote, but if it was me that was voting, I would have voted her number one if we were voting for entertainment.
Oh, for sure.
She's fantastic to talk to.
Karaoke, too.
Her stuff on YouTube's tremendous.
Yeah. Number nine, Candace Chapman. A lot of people probably haven't heard of her, especially new fans of the women's champions.
But even I've heard of her.
Yeah, no, but some of the new ones might have not gone back and looked at to see who it was. And she's played 114 caps. She was a pretty good defender. And she was part of that 2012 bronze medal squad in London. And she played quite a bit with the Whitecaps too, the Whitecaps women's team. And won a championship with them in 2006 as well.
At 8.
Silvana Bertini. Now this one definitely not very many people
have
heard of her.
I had no idea who this was.
I voted for her.
Yeah, she's a forward. She's from Williams Wake, BC. She was part of the 98 CONCACAF Championship. She was a member of the squad that went fourth place in 2003 World Cup.
Yep.
And she was even named Player of the Year for that, the 98 year. When she retired, she was, I think she retired as the leading goal scorer at the time.
And now she's third.
Now she's third, yeah. Number seven, Holly Schmidt. It's Sophie Schmidt.
She's awesome.
Yeah, another one. I think she started off, I think she was born in Winnipeg, but she moved to Abbotsford at a young age. So she's a BC girl.
So many BC players actually in the women's list.
Yeah, and she followed Christine Sinclair to University of Portland as well, kind of followed, and they played together quite a bit even there. And now I think she's playing in Germany
she's
right
playing
now.
Frankfurt, I believe, yeah.
Number six, another favorite interview I had in the lead up, Erin McLeod.
Yeah, she's a good chat as well.
Yeah, she's a goalkeeper. She's from Alberta, seeing Alberta. I think she's dealing with an injury issue right now.
She's back playing her club soccer.
Is she? Okay. But she's had quite a few of those injuries. She, number one keeper, I think, since the Germany Cup, World Cup in Germany.
Yeah, and she's been fantastic.
Yeah, she's really one of the top keepers in the world. People.
And if you listen to our extra podcast where we had Har's interview with John Herdman as well, she asked John whether Erin's going to be good to go for this friendly in November against the States, or the two friendlies in November against the States. And he was very uncommittal about it. He doesn't want to rush her because she put her body on the line and got injured getting Canada to the Olympics. So he's not putting any pressure on her at all. But it'll be great to see her back between the sticks pretty soon.
So at number, what number are we at?
Five.
Number five, a 16-year vet of the Canadian national team, led the Whitecaps to two championships, is in the Ring of Honor, Andrea Neal.
The one-year Ring of Honor.
The one-year Ring of Honor. Hey, it was a Ring of Honor. She still got it. She's got the, I think it came with a ring or something, I'm assuming.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, so she's basically, she's there. Number four, one that I thought maybe some people might not vote for her because she didn't have much of a run, but an extreme talent, Caroline.
Someone whose time definitely got cut short by injuries, but her contributions and her kind of football IQ and her kind of the trajectory she had been on, I think, that's probably why people.
Yeah, and you said somebody said she was overrated, yeah, which I completely disagree with.
Someone was saying to me, I think it was on Twitter, that they wouldn't have had them so high, wouldn't have had her so high because he just didn't think that she was as highly rated as others did. And of course, the sister of my first podcast wife, Pierce.
And I think if she had gone on the same trajectory she had started out, because she was highly rated in the college ranks.
Yeah.
I think she would have been a 1B to Christine Sinclair. And I think we talked about it before. I think she would have, she might have scored as many goals as Sinclair, but I think she would have helped Sinclair score more goals.
Yeah.
Provided more service to her.
And I just to clarify, Pierce was my first podcast husband. Don't want people to get the wrong end of the stick.
Okay. And by that, you mean co-host?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Carl Lang, she could shoot, she could score, she could pass. She transitioned back into defense. She contributed in so many ways over the years. And it was sad when she was trying to fight back from injury and make a comeback, and that it resulted, I believe, in another injury. But she was great.
Number three, Diana Matheson. Who, for the longest time, I called Diane Matheson, but it is Diana Matheson.
Well, you're not very good with names.
No,
in
I'm not. But if I was, if this was a full-time job, I'm sure I could pronounce it better than some commentators.
She was another one when we chatted to her before the Olympics. She was a great interview. Really enjoyed chatting with her.
And she scored the clinching goal for the bronze medal
in France.
In France.
Oh, yes.
Against France. London. Yeah. So that was a huge one there. Number two, Charmaine Hooper. Just a beast in front of the net. Like before Sinclair, obviously their biggest goal scorer. And we heard the clip we heard was from the 2003 where they beat China and were able to advance to the semifinals.
Yeah, Hooper was kind of so massive and made such huge contributions to the women's program. There was always the awkward way of how her time ended in terms of not, you know, they made like the training camp out in Vancouver and that was not feasible or possible or deemed unfair or whatever. And there was, I don't know how things got resolved or how things were left broken or whatever, but it was a real unfortunate way for her time with the national team to end.
And I am on tenterhooks here to see who could possibly be number one.
This was a no-brainer. It was unanimous. There was no second place votes for number one.
Chelsea Buckland?
No, it is. although
Claire Rustad.
Yeah. Christine Sinclair.
I like Claire Rustad, by the way.
I like Chelsea because she did some good fun interviews with us.
There's nothing really you could say about her that hasn't already been said. She is the best Canadian women's player ever. And eventually, I think people will realize how good she is overall. She's never won. I don't think she's ever won the Women's Player of the Year internationally, which I think, considering who she's played with and comparing that to other players that have won and who they played with, the talent level and everything, I think it's clear that she will be the best player ever.
And when she wins the World Cup with Canada in 2019, she will be on her money.
She's got the order. She's got the Order of Canada now.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
everything.
So the next thing is just money. Yeah.
Christine is.
She'll replace the Queen.
She's the Queen of Canada.
Yeah. Christine is a quality footballer. Great.
Just knows everything. And the thing is, she's they say slow down, and I'm using quotation marks here. Obviously not good for radio, but she's moved into a different position, and she's even excelled at that.
Yeah, I'm not fond of how she's not taking penalties right now because. I've heard her give interviews where she's kind of like yeah, I don't. My goal was to pass Mia Hamm, and I did that. And she's kind of like, I don't really care about Abby Wambach. But I know for Canadian supporters.
John Herdman said he wants to be here as she reaches the 200 mark. Yeah. So
I would like her to take penalties. But she is awesome. And then what a nose for goal.
Yeah, and a lot of other candidates that just missed the mark. Rhiann Wilkinson, we were talking about her earlier. She was an honorable mention, and a few others.
I love Rhiann. I really miss chatting to her. She was, when we've done our interviews with the women's team over the last couple of years, she's always a great person to talk to because she's so insightful. She's got a really dry sense of humor, which some people don't see unless you kind of sit one-on-one with her. But I kind of, when she was retired, I was like, oh, no. She was my go-to woman that I spoke to for all the build-ups. But Christine Sinclair is a player that's inspired so many young women over the years, still is. And one player that she did inspire was the new future generation of Canadian women's soccer, Jordan Huytema. And Jordan Huytema, sister of Brody Huytema, guy we've spoken to several times over the years on AFTN, sadly out of the game at the moment with concussion problems, but definitely not the end of his career. They're still kind of looking at some things. But Jordan has come into the national team and she's just lit everything up. In the space of a couple of months, she's going to have played for the senior team. She's away with the 20s and then she's going to go away with the 17s as well. She's only 16 years old. I think we've heard that somewhere before, really.
Yeah.
But I got a chance to catch up with Jordan and like talking about good interviews and stuff. She is a really good interview for a 16-year-old. So let's hear what she had to say. So, Jordan, it's been a whirlwind year for you so far, and you're about to head off now to Australia and China, and then you've got another game coming up here against America. Have your feet touched the ground so far this year?
I mean, I take that in different ways. I mean, I've stayed grounded and I stayed humbled, but honestly, it still feels like a dream. And it's been a dream of mine since I was just coming into soccer that I'd be playing here. And the fact that I'm able to actually live my dream is still incredible, but no, like John always says to me, stay grounded, and that's what I want to do, and I want to keep my feet on the ground, and I want to stay humble and not let it all go to my head, because I'm not a star, I'm not that. I mean, I'm trying to get to that point, but still not there, so just trying to stay humble and like really take the experience as I get it, and kind of in the staying grounded, but also in the clouds, because it's my dream.
And it's tough when a player comes into a national team program so young. We've seen it with Alfonso in the men's team as well. You've got someone to draw on that with, though, because like Jesse Fleming came through that a couple of years ago. Have you had a chance to sit down and speak with her about what's in store for you and what it's like and how to deal with everything?
Yeah, I definitely have. I've had Deanne Rose and I roommated last time, and you know, we've had some discussions of our future and what this program holds for both of us, and like where we see ourselves in the next Olympics, the next World Cup, and things like that. I have talked to Jesse about the team and about the universities and things like that. So no, I definitely look up to them, and they're people that I plan on following their path. Like they've set out a distinct path that's an amazing path, and I plan on following that. So just to be able to have them surrounded by me being around them 24/7 and able to grow off them is amazing.
And obviously Christine Sinclair is a massive player around the world, but here in BC in particular, she's held in such high esteem. When you were growing up, is that someone that you just wanted to be like her, and now you're on a team with her?
For sure, yes. That's definitely that was my dream. I mean, I grew up and I was the kid with the Christine Sinclair posters in my room. I was the one that wanted to go find her on the streets and go take pictures. And I remember my first camp with the national team. I was pretty young. I was probably 13. And my dad always said, like he said, don't get their autograph and don't take pictures with them because you're not a fan, Jordan. You're their teammate. And I got there and it was so difficult for me just to be surrounded by such high esteem players, like you said. And it was so hard not to be like, hey, can I have your autograph? Can you sign my shirt? Like, but I couldn't do that. But it was just crazy. Like, it was an amazing opportunity. And I know I've looked up to Christine so much with her movements and her touch and her passion and her drive. And she's such an amazing player that, you know, one day I've always wished that I could play like her, let alone play alongside her. So it's amazing.
I've spoken to your dad a few times over the years as well, and your brother Brody. You come from a footballing family. Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in that environment? What age did you start playing?
Before I can even remember, I was playing. I grew up, and my brother was just always in the backyard playing with a soccer ball. And so I guess I know there's home videos, and I was always trying to get in there. But, you know, I could never really keep up because I was a little bit younger. But, no, definitely growing up, whenever we're free and home together, it'd be, hey, like, you want to go kick around a ball in the backyard? And that definitely helped me, like, where I am today. And he definitely didn't hold back, but, yeah, so he definitely helped me develop at a young, young age. And it was just great that he was able to push me to that level.
Now, Brody's obviously went to Duke and had a lot of issues and stuff, which we won't go into all that. But for you yourself, it's a few years away yet, but have you decided, do you want to go down the college road? Do you want to turn pro? Would you want to stay here? Would you want to go to Europe? Big, big decisions, I know.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of things to think about. I haven't quite decided what I want to do or where I want to go. There's a lot of different routes and a lot of different things that each thing brings, so definitely going to have a lot of conversations with different people and see where I want to go.
And with the Whitecaps team as well just now, knowing that they don't have, at least just now, a women's team to go to, it obviously means if you want to play, you'd have to move away from Vancouver. Is that a tough thing to think about? Like, you've always been here, you've grown up here, you've played here, you're about to play America here. Is it just weird thinking that your path might take you somewhere completely different in the world?
A little bit. I mean, I've grown up on the West Coast, and I love the West Coast. I mean, it's beautiful, and I could barely imagine myself living somewhere else. But, I mean, as far as homesick, I don't really get that, because I am living by myself right now in Burnaby, and, I mean, I miss my family a lot, but I live in camps, and I do all these things, so I'm practically gone most of the time anyways. So I feel like that transition would make it a little bit easier for me. But no, it's definitely hard to think that I would be leaving the West Coast and leaving my family and my hometown for the first time. It's kind of mind-boggling, you could say, but yeah, so I haven't really thought about that a lot, but yeah.
So, big game coming up in November, America's coming back here, World Cup winners, won it at BC Place. Were you at the final, or what's your memories of the tournament? Did you get to get out to a lot of games?
I didn't get out to a lot of games. I wish I could have, but, I mean, I live in Chilliwack, so it was pretty far away for, like, my family to go to, but no, I wish I was there. I mean, I watched everything on TV. Anything I could, I was watching it on TV, and I know in the U.S. game, I know it wasn't Canada, but I was still on the edge of my seat, just, like, loving, because I have so much passion for the game, and yeah, the England game for Canada, I was there and I was watching it, and I just, like, you know, really wanted, like, a result. And, like, every game I felt like I was there living it with Canada, and felt like the crowd really contributed to that. And that's why we're hoping for such a great turnout in this U.S. game, because they might not think it, but it does help us a lot when there is 50,000 people supporting you and cheering you on, and they're behind you and they're in that game and their feelings are there with you.
And obviously, we're hoping for a big crowd at BC Place for this one. Chance to test yourself against the number one team in the world, players that you've probably grown up admiring and stuff as well. What's it going to mean to you to run out on that pitch in November?
Everything. I mean, it's a dream come true. Not only for the team is it a test for us, but it's a growth period for us, like John said. I mean, on our path to number one, we get to play the number one team in the world, and we get to see where we rank against them and see our little 2%, we call it, that we have to fix in order to get to the number one spot during the World Cup and the Olympics. So it's amazing to be able to test ourselves against the U.S. at home as well as in the U.S. later on. But, you know, it's an opportunity for the team and individual growth, for the future.
I've spoken to Alfonso a lot over the years, or last year and a half, really, I guess, and we always talk about how he manages to juggle his time with homework and trying to play and be in a pro environment. How difficult has it been for you to keep your schooling up and have to go and play senior football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit difficult at times, you know, I'm a young kid, so I get distracted pretty easily in camp, but no, I definitely, teachers are very helpful and they let you take homework on the road, so I definitely have a lot of homework on the road. I try to get it done. It mostly happens during the flights when I'm not doing anything, because when I'm relaxing in my hotel room, I just tend that I want to relax and not focus on homework. But no, it's definitely like since the end of school year was happening during my last camp, I had to focus a lot on schoolwork and making sure I was getting that done, as well as my school is very accommodating to a lot of athletes, and I know they have like a week of school after the fact that kids can come in and complete any work that they haven't finished, so that was very helpful for me. And yeah, so it's just trying to make the most of the time that you get free and available so that you can get your homework done and get through each grade.
That's great. Thanks so much for your time today, Jordan, and wish you well with the 17s and the 20s and the senior team as well. Look forward to seeing you in years to come.
Thank you. Because we're young, because we're young.
So yeah.
What was that?
That was Suede, So Young.
Oh, man.
First track from their debut album, Suede.
Was that a preview of Wavelength?
No. This was more melodic than what's coming up in Wavelength.
Okay.
It's a song about heroin, chasing the dragon. Very fitting to come out of that when you're talking about a 16-year-old schoolgirl.
Yeah,
it's called So Young.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was fitting.
And the future looks bright for all the young guys.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, if
Alfonso Davies,
you look
Satema.
At both the men and the women,
yeah,
and the young talent that is coming through right now, it's very exciting.
Yeah, and just in the last few days, Nation Cup or something, I can't remember the name of it, but they were able to beat the Americans. It was a 4-1 victory.
Down in Oz, the under-20s, yeah. Jordan's down there with the team.
Yeah, and they were, yeah, I think Jordan scored a goal too, or two, maybe, I can't remember.
She's a very mature young lady.
16-year-old.
It's when you chat to her, she's got such a football head on her shoulders. And she comes from a footballing family.
Yeah. I remember when she was talking about her dad's advice there, I was like, oh yeah, I remember talking to Mr. Hoytema, like,
yeah.
Quality fellow.
And there is some big searching questions ahead for her. It's like, does she turn pro? Does she go to university? If she does turn pro, does she stay here? NWSL? Will there be a team even in Vancouver for her to stay here? Which would be a great marquee signing. I mean, we've talked about if Vancouver got an NWSL team, Christine Sinclair would be the marquee signing, but we don't think that would happen, partly for the pressure, but partly because she loves Portland.
Yeah, she's Portland bound.
If you got Jordan to come out of the Rex program into a Vancouver Whitecaps NWSL team, that would be fantastic marketing. She loves the West Coast, as she says. If she went to university, there's the option UCLA, I've heard mentioned, as a possible landing spot for her. But in the women's side, you've got her, Deanna Rose, Becky
Ashley Lawrence,
going through.
Ashley Lawrence, Jesse Fleming.
Kenesha Buchanan.
It's amazing how everybody, now she's 19, I think, Jesse Fleming.
And, yeah, she's past it now.
She's old news now, but she's still so phenomenal. Yeah. So, there's a lot of young talent there. And just a quick shout out. I know Zach's going to roll his eyes because it's a different sport. But a quick shout out to the U19 Canadian men's team because they won the FIBA championships. It's the first time any Canadian team has ever won anything at the international level. Men's, women's, anything.
At basketball. Just a stress.
At basketball.
Not anything.
No, at basketball. Then they dominated too. It wasn't even close, some of these games.
Well,
they beat Italy. Sorry, Mass. They beat Italy.
And of course, Bobby Roode, NXT champion, another one for Canada.
Yeah. Well, that's because we invented the sport, right?
Yeah.
Or modernized. I don't know.
Shooting things in baskets.
Yeah. Do you remember that part of our heritage commercial?
Yeah. I remember that commercial.
Yeah, it was a good commercial.
Good commercial.
So, yeah, I mean, things are looking really, really bright for Canadian women's soccer. And Jordan is now a fully fledged member of the Canadian women's national team.
Oh, no.
So as such, there's only one thing we could do.
It's a rite of passage.
It's your favourite jam.
So, Jordan, if you were having some toast or a scone or something and you were going to put some jam on it, what would be your favourite jam?
It'd be strawberry jam.
Thank you so much.
What's your favourite jam? traffic jam. What's wrong with raspberry? What's wrong with plum? How's about a blob of elderberry on a scone? What's your favourite jam?
And yes, the music is longer than the segment. I do understand that. I just love the song.
It was nice to get your dad to sing that for us.
Yeah, it was. I wish I had kept recording because I switched it off as soon as she answered because she was needed for another interview. But she just broke down into a fit of giggles. And then Hara was sitting there. And she, before we had done that, I'd said to her, I ask everyone this, and I've asked lots of the Canadian women this. So just so you feel part of the team, I wanted to ask you about what your favourite jam is. And she's like, what? And she thought I said, what's your favourite job? And it's like, no, jam, like, what would you spread? So we asked it, and then she just collapsed into giggles. And then Hara's like, you've not been asking her about jam, have you? I was like, see, it wasn't winding you up. We do this. But she was a pleasure to talk to, and I just can't wait to see her just tear it up at the Olympics, the World Cup, and things are looking great for Canada.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll be back with more chat after this.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveVan.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
So that's the Ramones with their cover of Spider-Man live. And the Spider-Man came out this week, obviously.
Obviously.
Zach, you saw it?
You saw it, Steve.
Yeah, I saw it.
Michael, you must have seen it twice.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm waiting for it to come on the web.
The dark web. No, that was good. That was
good. I had a good joke. No reaction there at all.
Obviously a story of a 16-year-old kid rising up. And, claiming his rightful place. And there's a group of 16-year-old boys who are going to go for it in L.A. Of course, the difference is Spider-Man, obviously, bigger epic story. U16's real boys, not a fictional character.
Not Pinocchio.
No, exactly. So, it's a great, hopefully, this is the first time U16s are in the Residency
Final Four. They're playing Atlanta United.
Yeah. And we played Georgia one time before.
Yeah, that was in the quarterfinals. Yeah. And I think they kind of got their little connection there. And the Caps are going into seeded third of the four teams. We talked about the game in our last episode where they got through against Seattle, thrashed Seattle, although 3-0 was maybe a favourable scoreline considering how many chances Seattle had. But yeah, Final Four, I was going to head down. Then I saw it was 31 degrees and I'm not going now.
Yeah, that's the opposite of most people's reaction, I think.
Yeah, I'll die.
Is Atlanta ranked number two?
Yeah, Atlanta's number two. Okay. Number one is Dallas.
Because I figured like the way USSDA usually does it, it doesn't matter where we rank, we would usually play number one.
Yeah, so surprisingly, it's not. So we've got a great chance of getting to the final. And if we do that, the 18s have been to the championship game twice. If we get the 16s there as well, it could be a third game against a Dallas team.
Right.
So that's on Friday is the semi-final. There'll be a live stream of that. And then on Sunday, the final will take place as well. So there's a few other things happening this week. Whitecaps get back to training on Monday.
Yep.
So hopefully by the time the next game comes, they've pretty much got a full squad. I mean, Brett Levi's and David Edgar are the two guys that are really missing. But everyone else seems good.
And the Gold Cup people are obviously going to be missing.
Oh, I don't count them because they're Canadian.
Hopefully for a long time.
Oh, yeah, you want to give up Alphonso Davies? You don't count him?
Oh, yeah, I count him. Actually, just talking about the Whitecaps Canadian players, the joy that Rusty showed and Sam Adekugbe showed, it was really good to see.
Rusty made Rusty did well.
He made a difference in there.
Other than the fact that Bernier leaving, you know, coincided with the goals given away. Aside from that, like
I think the goalkeeper substitution had more to do with it than
Whitecaps 2 are in action with a Nooner at the Bird. Doesn't quite have the same ring as Nooner at the Gnat, but they're playing Swope Park Rangers at 12 o'clock on Wednesday. If you're free, if you're a lazy layabout like myself, get along to the game.
But you won't be lazy. There's a reason you're going.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing colour commentary again for that one after my huge Dalek success a couple of weeks ago.
So from work to tune in and listen to Michael.
Yes.
So that gives you incentive to come to the game so you don't have to listen to Michael.
I know. folks are going to be sick. They're going to be like, let's watch some football. Oh, God, it's him again. Busy week ahead. Looking forward to it. We'll be back next Sunday to talk more Whitecap stuff.
You're doing a doubleheader on Wednesday.
Yes, because TSS Rovers play their final game of the PDL season. They are at home to Seattle. Always good to beat the Sounders at any team, any level. So if you can get along to Swangard Stadium, 7 o'clock, cheer the guys on. They're looking for a big crowd for their last home game, and there'll be fun galore. Does that sell it?
Well, you sounded like you said funga galore.
I was going to say there was going to be giveaways, but there isn't. So I didn't want to kind of put the TSS guys on the spot. So, yeah.
Maybe they give the jerseys off the back or...
Oh, I'll suggest that.
Or...
It's like, Colin, we've just announced that we're giving your jerseys away.
Cans of beer.
A couple of funny stories just about TSS that I'll tell you. They brought in Alejandro Varea. He's like a centre-back.
He's Canadian.
He is. Well, he's Colombian. Colombian-Canadian. He's a permanent resident, which qualifies for what they were doing.
We love Colombians around here.
Well, you kind of do. He's a real character, and he's like really funny, lots of ad-libs, and he keeps losing items off his kit and sending messages to everyone going, has anyone seen my shirt? And then Zach Verhoeven, who's been one of the stars, he's just come back from the trip to China. And he was complaining that they went to the Great Wall, and he complained, he thought he was just going to go and take a picture of a wall, and he's like, it was like the Grouse Grind. Yeah. It was really long.
Oh, kids.
So fun galore, get along to TSS. To see fun galore.
Yes, he's saying it, fun galore. No,
I'm hearing it now that you say that.
Is fun galore Canadian?
Yeah, and I tell you what else is fun galore. It's our wavelength section of the show, my favourite section. We've actually had people from England tuning in live tonight to hear our wavelength song. They actually wanted Half Man, Half Biscuit, but I told them that's coming in a couple of weeks. So we're back with one of Zach's favourites, I Ludacris, from their 20 Years in Show Business album. And this is the band that Zach described as a dirge.
What? You played a dirge one
yeah,
night.
Yeah, okay.
In the middle of the night. We've been here for 4 hours. You're like, let's put this on.
Yeah. Well, this is a song all about football cliches. And this is... I'm really interested to see what you think of this one. This song is called... I forget what it's called. What's it called?
At the End of the...
Oh, yeah. This song is called At the End of the Day.
Load of the footballing, load of FI, guide us through the turnstiles each new Saturday. Be there at the kickoff and give us, we pray, a fair result at the end of the day. There's 20 to players and 4 substitutes. They've worked hard in training, they've dug in their boots. Throw form out the window, the experts all say. It's a funny old game, say, at the end of the day.
Ludacris there with At the End of the Day. Zach really liked that one. Apparently, I've gone back to 1909, though.
You're Googling
it. No, yeah. Well, I think an Irish folk tune that there is a hymn called Be Thou My Vision that was actually, we played at our wedding.
See, so, Ludacris. Ludacris. They're your new band. Compare
that to Pedro the Lion's version of Be Thou My Vision.
Hmm. And as they sang there, it is goals that count at the end of the day. So let's hopefully that we're going to see some goals from Canada in the 2 Gold Cup games that they have remaining against Costa Rica and FH Honduras.
I honestly don't need to see any goals. I'm happy with 0-0 draws in both of them.
Yeah, I'd probably take that. So anything else we want to talk about, or is that the end of the show?
Let's call it the end.
Wait, do you want to do some birthdays?
You want to do some birthdays.
Do you want to see, well, it's Sean Melvin. It was Sean Melvin's birthday like an hour ago.
Okay. Wish him happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sean. It was also Greg Janicki's birthday.
Mr. Bandichet.
That's right. Our own Terry Butcher. And it was the birthday of Joe Cannon's wife, who just gave birth to their second child.
Mrs. Bandichet.
No.
And this week, I think it's Carl Valentine's birthday, too.
It was Joe. It was yeah. Carl Valentine's last yeah. week, yeah.
And he got a great birthday treat with the under-16s winning.
Yeah. Right.
So that is it for another episode of the AFTN Soccer Show, brought to you in partnership with BC Soccer Web, your one-stop site for local, national and international news and links. Check them out on bcsoccerweb.com. Just before we go, lads, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at WhitecapsBeat.
For me, it's at ZacharyAM, and I'm part of the Movement Curver Collective.
I'm Michael McCall. I'm part of the Movement AFTN. Read all our stuff away from the numbers, aftn.ca. Also the WhitecapsBeat reporter for MLSsoccer.com and the Western Conference reporter for USLsoccer.com. Also check out our new Instagram account, where I either randomly post nothing for a day or two, and then I just post tons of stuff in one day. So you can find us on that, at AFTN Soccer. So that is it for this episode of the show. As always, thanks for listening. Take care. And on the Caps.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful, and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.
Hembology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
We just had our first fight. Unresolved, we head back out into the night. Putting my face back on. As we try, not a word is spoken, not a blink of an eye. And in my head, my thoughts go nuts. Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. Maybe our love was hanging by a thread. Shouldn't show you how I really felt. At the restaurant, your friend. Another discussion about some TV show that never ends. No, I haven't seen season 3. God, I wish that you would just look at me. And then I feel your hand under the table, and you smile the smile that only you smile. I feel your hand under the table, and you smile the smile that only you smile. And you mouth out, I love you, the way a parent spells out ice cream. I love
there's kids in the room. Woo-hoo, I-L-O-V-E-O-U, like there's kids in the room.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older. But you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today. Plus jokes and riddles. All sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham. Music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for